Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the Silsila Reflections for a Better Life. And today, mashallah, we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion. And that is regarding our greatest priority. So yes, we are going to be mentioning what that is as we journey along, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me. For your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So that is all collectively with full of love. Send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. First and foremost, viewers of Madani channel, we thank our most merciful creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all of the countless blessings that he has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. As we show our thanks, we show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single state that you and I may be in. When you show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you more. Allah ta'ala places more barakah in your life, in your sustenance, in your risk. So we should form a habit of always showing thanks to Allah Ta'ala and always saying Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So yes, we are discussing our greatest priority. Yes, in life we all have different priorities. You know, each one, every person has their own set of priorities. Some really do take those actions that are priority as priority, and some take that which are trivial, which is pointless, some take those kind of actions as a priority, right? But in a nutshell, everyone has some priority in their life. But we have to understand and realize and reflect upon something that, yes, together with all of those priorities that we have in our day-to-day life, we do have the greatest priority. And one may ask that, what is this greatest priority that we have? And that is, dear viewers of Madani channel, that is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our maker, that is our greatest priority. And we have to strive for this. You know, to begin with, and to narrate to you a narration wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once held the hand of his companion Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, Ya Aba Sa'idin, thalathata man qalahunna dakhala al-jannah. That, oh Abu Sa'id, there are three matters. Whoever says and accepts these shall enter paradise. So, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what are these three matters? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man radiya billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin rasoolan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever is pleased with Allah as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger. And in one hadith, the following was mentioned, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now, this now collectively means that whoever is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their messenger, such a person shall have paradise become wajib for them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. That whoever is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their messenger, has found the sweetness of Iman. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, for you and I to understand this, scholars, ulama, they describe how our hearts can taste intangible facets of spirituality, like the positive spiritual effects fostered by acts of ibadah, by acts of worship. Take it in this angle, the same way our tongues are able to taste things. You know, when we place something on our tongues, we can know, we can realize whether it's sweet, whether it's salty, whether it's sour, whether it's hot, whether it's cold. Now, in the exact same way, whenever we offer salah, we keep fast, we recite the Holy Quran, we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we recite wada'if, call others towards goodness, recite the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn Islamic knowledge, or do any other good deed, our hearts, it is able to taste the positive and delightful effects of these actions. If someone was to get sick, was to get ill, the ability to taste things is not really there. It's kind of numb. You can't really taste what is hot. You don't really have much taste when you get sick. Everything begins tasting sour to those who are ill. Now, the same principle, it applies to our heart. When the heart becomes negligent or blackened from sin, and when spiritual diseases like arrogance, jealousy, selfishness, love for money, name and fame, they run rampant inside our hearts, this leads to the heart itself becoming sick, becoming unwell. Now, when this happens, a person is deprived from the sweetness of salah, from the delight of salah. He finds no peace in fasting. Good deeds become difficult for such a person. And ultimately, the light and sweetness of iman, they leave his heart. Now, for someone going through this, it is necessary for them to cure their heart as soon as possible. Now, one method of curing the heart has been described by our Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he has very beautifully said that when a person is pleased with Allah ta'ala as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their messenger, the darkness of that individual's sins is removed. His heart is purified, and he begins to taste the spiritual illumination of Iman. No, Shaykh Abdul Haq, Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah, he said that whoever is not pleased with these three matters from the bottom of his heart is unable to taste the sweetness of Iman. He has Iman outwardly, but has not attained its true sense. And Yusuf Madani channel, what does it really mean to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being our Rabb? What does it mean to accept this fact? And scholars, they mention on how there are three levels of acceptance in this regard. The first level, Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he elaborates, he says that being pleased with Allah as one's Rabb and accepting this reality means an individual will not accept anyone besides Allah as their Rabb. A person who wholeheartedly believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reject everything mushrikeen consider to be gods and believe Allah alone is worthy of worship. Such a person knows it is only Allah who grants rizq sustains him, allows him to breathe, and blesses him with life. He recognizes there will never be another Rabb besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this level of acceptance, dear viewers of Madani Channel, is the core foundation of our iman. Without this, a person cannot become a Muslim. That's the first level. The second level, Shaykh Ali Hajweri rahimahullah, he says that this contentment and state of being pleased refers to a person's heart remaining unchanged in condition, regardless of whether he is granted something or not. Now, this means that a person's heart, it remains content, it remains at ease, it is accepting and pleased, regardless of whether Allah Ta'ala grants them something or makes them face testing circumstances. This is the second level of being pleased with the fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one's Rabb. Like Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya, rahmatullah alayha, she was a pious waliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in her presence, a person once made dua, he was saying, oh Allah, be pleased with me. Now this dua, the views of Madani Channel, is perfectly fine. And it's often heard being made. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. But I want you to look at the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have their own unique way. Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahmatullah alayha, she heard this dua and she said that, do you not have shame? You ask Allah ta'ala to be pleased with you, whereas you are not pleased with him. A person was seated nearby. He asked that, what does it mean for a person to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She said that when you are pleased upon falling into difficulty, the way you are pleased upon receiving a blessing, only then it shall be said to you that you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand this, take for example, if a person came to you and said, hey, you know what? You've just won £1,000,000, £1,000,000. Imagine how happy you would get. You would sit up, you would jump out of happiness, you'll be over the moon. I mean, our hearts would be overjoyed. And we wouldn't be able to stop smiling. Perhaps we'd even feel like dreaming. On the other hand, let's say someone comes and says to you that your shop has burned down, all your products have been destroyed. Imagine the sadness that you'd feel. Imagine the anxiety that you'd feel. It will all be visible on your face. Perhaps some would be saying that, oh, I've been ruined, I'm finished now, I don't know what to do, everything is gone. So we see that the meaning of Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahmatullah alayha, her statement is that just as a person is happy, you got the $1,000,000, you got happy upon it. Just as a person is happy upon receiving wealth, similarly, a person should be happy when you lose it. When a person reaches this stage, this level, then it can be said that they are pleased with the fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Rabb. This is not an unusual matter. Since our childhood, we have been reciting وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That good and bad destiny is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we receive blessings, we receive wealth, we receive well-being, this is from Allah Azza wa Jal. If we are afflicted by a trial, we are afflicted by poverty or by illness, this is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In summary, all destiny, all fate, whether good or bad, is decreed only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person affirms that he is pleased with Allah ta'ala as his Rabb, he should be pleased with every decision his Rabb makes. If he is happy upon receiving a blessing, he should also be happy upon the arrival of an affliction. Whatever happens, because of Mother Nature, any person, we should not complain, you know, with despair, with no hope. Remember that there is no issue in making dua for good and well-being in both worlds. And we can make this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. That, oh Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in this world and in the hereafter. Let me narrate to you an interesting story. It will motivate us that even when things go down in life, even when things go south, still we won't be of those who complain. Still we would be happy and pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Fudayl bin Iyad rahimahullah, he was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people never saw him smiling because he was drowned, he was immersed in the fear of Allah ta'ala. This is how much of taqwa that he had. He would ponder, he would contemplate over the grave, he would be thinking over the hereafter, he would be thinking about matters of accountability, the bridge of Sirat and the punishments of hell. He had a pious son, and his son's name was Ali bin Fudayl, rahimahullah. Now this son was also extremely devoted to serving his parents. And narration, they say how he was unable to complete the recitation of Surah Al-Zilzal. Because this surah, it describes the terrors of the day of Qiyamah. Go up, look it up. Open the 30th chapter of the Holy Quran. Or go to Surah Zilzal. Read it. Read the translation from Ganzul Iman, which is available in English. Read it up and you would see how it describes the terrors of the day of Qiyamah. How the earth is a witness to the deeds that we do here. So whenever he would recite or listen to it, his intense fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would lead to him losing consciousness. He was still young when he passed away. Every parent can understand how painful the death of a young child is. I mean, imagine someone lose a young child. How devastating that must be. How heartbroken, how shattered they would be. They would be lost, they would be clueless. They would have no life in them, metaphorically. They wouldn't feel like doing anything, right? But I want you to look and understand the conduct of the father, Sayyidina Fudayl bin Iyad, rahimahullah. His conduct was such that his young son passed away, yet he did not cry. Nor did he show any sign of sadness. You know what he did instead? He smiled. And when he smiled, people were surprised by this. They asked that, "We never saw you smiling, yet today your child passes away and you smile on this day. Why is this?" Sayyidina Fudayl bin Iyad rahimahullah, he gave a very beautiful answer. And he said that this happened by the will of Allah, by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am pleased with whatever Allah ta'ala has decreed. Allahu Akbar. This is what it means, dear viewers of Madani Channel, to be pleased with Allah as your Rabb and accept this reality. It is like saying, Allah ta'ala is my Rabb. Whatever He decrees concerning me, I wholeheartedly and happily accept it from the bottom of my heart. Now, unfortunately, our state today is totally opposite to this. If a single glass cup accidentally breaks, we become angry, irritable. If our car tire is punctured, we cannot enjoy it. If there is a slight increase or decrease in temperature, if we are afflicted by a minor fever, if our business earnings are low for one day, satanic whisperings, they enter our heart, and complaints flow from our tongues. Look at these amazing personalities who even smile when their pious and devoted son passes away. Why? Why is that? Simply due to the fact that they were pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. With whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, they were pleased with that. And we need to also have this kind of conduct, dear of Madani Channel. It shouldn't always be the case where a person only knows how to complain. Yet a person, when receiving something, a blessing, he gets all happy. And when the blessing is taken away from him or he suffers some loss in whichever way, then the first thing that comes is why? We have to remove this why from our lives and put this thing in us that we accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. That was the second level. The third level, which we now move on to, dear viewers of Madani Channel, and the highest level of being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, and every Muslim must be upon this level at least. Now, the scholar Sayyidina Abu Ali al-Daqqaq rahimahullah, he explains that being pleased and content with the divine will does not mean that one feels no difficulty at all. This means an individual should not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we are hurt in any way, if a calamity comes, if we break a bone, someone close to us, someone beloved to us passes away, we suffer a financial loss or become sick, there's no issue being sad or crying when these things happen. There's no issue. There is no problem with feeling the effects of them. What a person should do, however, is not pay attention to any satanic whispers that come during these events. No complaining anyway. They should totally be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained to happen. Now, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he says, الْإِعْتَرَاضُ عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَوْتُ الدِّينِ وَمَوْتُ التَّوْحِيدِ وَمَوْتُ التَّوَكُّلِ. That objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the death of religion, tawheed, and tawakkul. The use of Madani Channel, objecting to Allah azza wa jal, it is definite disbelief, kufr. Now the objector is a disbeliever and apostate. Sharia, which every Muslim must follow, it orders us to avoid objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creator of everything is who? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how insulting it is for his creation to then turn and object to him. Ma'adallah. If permission were given for objection, everyone would say anything they want. For example, they may say, why did Allah do this and not that? Oh, he should have done it in this way. Along with other similar such statements. Using rationale, we find objecting as inherently incorrect. Right? As objections, they are leveled at one in whom there is a fault or error, or one who makes incorrect decisions. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free. Allah ta'ala is free from all defects, from all mistakes. It's another matter that a person of deficient intellect does not understand the wisdom of some affairs. In any case, a Muslim should have certainty that everything Allah Ta'ala does has infinite wisdom. Whether a person can fathom, can understand that wisdom or not, you know, let alone bring in an objection on his tongue, a person should not even allow it a place in their heart. Slaves of Madani Channel, we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have any right to object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Rabb. It is Allah ta'ala who created us, gave us life, granted us rizq, spread out the earth for us, placed the sky over our heads as a canopy, and granted us endless bounties. He is our creator and owner, and we are His slaves. It is rightful upon us to accept His every decree and be pleased with His decisions. Now Imam Al-Qushayri rahimahullah, he writes that ubudiyya, servitude, is to abandon whatever is in one's capacity and submit before whatever becomes apparent from divine decree. Sayyidina Ruwaym, who is a wali, a saint rahimahullah, he says that if all of hell, if all of Jahannam was placed on a person's right hand, he should not even say, oh Allah, place it on my left hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a hadith Qudsi that whoever is not pleased with my decree and is not patient upon my trials, let him seek a Rabb other than me. Allahu Akbar. Students of Madani Channel, these words, they should actually and really, you know, shake us to our core. Whoever is not pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being rebuked in this. They are being told that they are not worthy of being the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. as a true slave remains pleased and content with the decision of his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to be a slave? You know, in earlier times, slaves, they would be sold in marketplaces. So one Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahimahullah, was also a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needed a slave. So he went to a marketplace, he bought a slave, brought him home. He asked the slave his name. And I want you to listen and understand this very, very carefully. In order for you and I to understand servitude, what it truly means to be a slave. He asked the slave his name. The slave said, whatever you wish to call me, that will be my name. So Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahimahullah, he then asked what he was used to eating. That slave said, that I shall eat whatever you give me. When the slave was asked if he wanted anything, he said, that I desire only what you desire. I am a slave. And a slave does not have any connection with such matters. When Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah heard the astounding, beautiful reply, he began to think that if only I would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same beautiful manner. This, dear viewers of Madani Channel, is what true servitude is. A true slave is he who has no desire or wishes of his own. He follows the will of his master. So we should remain content with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never complain in any circumstances, come what may be it poverty, be it worries or any kind of difficulty. Still, we should not be complaining, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, small car, small house, big house, whatever the case may be. We should not be complaining, rather we should be content and pleased with the will and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah, says that servitude necessitates a slave remaining pleased in every state with what Allah ta'ala has decreed. He says that he should never let his heart fall prey to ill thoughts. He should not desire more than that which Allah ta'ala has granted, as Allah knows what is best to an infinitely greater degree. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And it is likely that you dislike a thing which is actually better for you. And it is likely that you like a thing which is actually bad for you. And Allah knows and you know not. So Imam Sha'rani rahimullah further explains that. He says, in summary, that we learn an important point. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has granted and whatever state He has placed a person in, if an individual was to seek something other or more than this, it is as though he claims to know more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this suffices in proving someone as ignorant. You know, let's reflect over this. If we do not remain pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which He has bestowed us with, and the state that He has kept us in, then look at the far-reaching implications. It is as though a person is claiming he has more knowledge than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas this is impossible, right? His knowledge is complete and perfect. No one has more knowledge than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With His eternal knowledge, He has granted us whatever is best in our life. This we must acknowledge and realize, the views of Majlisina, that Allah Ta'ala granted us whatever is best in our right. We should be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what state we are in. You know, to give you an example of this, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim, rahimahullah, very wise saint, very wise person. He once said to his son, whatever situation you face, whether you like or dislike it, keep it in mind, it is better in your eyes. So the son said that, oh father, explain this to me. Right? How can everything that happens be best for me? So, father said, there is a prophet of Allah in a settlement. Let us go and present ourselves to him. He will explain this matter better than, much better than I can. So both father and son, they held their bags, climbed upon their animals and set out in search of knowledge, sacred knowledge. The journey, it was long, it was very, very hot. Along the way, they also ran out of food and water, and they eventually became exhausted. As the animals also tired, they dismounted, they began walking on foot. Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimahullah, he then saw smoke rising in the distance. And now they got happy, the spirits were high when they saw this, yet a difficulty then appeared. A sharp bone was laying on the floor. And what happened? It pierced the foot of the son and it came out from the other side. So he began to bleed. And due to the long journey, severe heat, lack of food and water, he fell to the ground unconscious. Seeing his son in this state, obviously, he said, "Father, this is his son." Tears came out from his eyes. And with much effort, he managed to extract the bone out from his foot and bandaged his foot. His son then regained consciousness and asked, "Oh, my father, the heat is intense. Our water has finished. I have been injured. Neither can we travel further nor return home. You tell me, how can all of this be what is best for me?" Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimahullah, he replied that this difficulty that arose, it is possible that a greater calamity has been averted from us because of this. So as they went back and forth, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimahullah, he saw a person approaching from far. He felt relieved, but the figure, it disappeared quickly from his sight. He then heard a voice. The voice asked, "Anta Luqman? Are you Luqman?" He said, "Yes, I am Luqman." The voice asked further, "Luqman Hakim?" He said, "Yes, people call me that." When the voice inquired, "What did your son say?" Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimullah, he asked, "Who are you? Why do you not show yourself?" So the voice said that, "I am Jibreel alayhi salam. I am only visible to prophets and angels." So Sayyidina Luqman rahimullah, he said that, "If you are Jibreel, then you surely know of our state." Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, listen to what he said. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to descend punishment upon a certain place. When I arrived, I realized you too were also headed to that same location. I then asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop you both from going any further. My dua was answered, and your son was made to face difficulty. If this had not happened, you would have entered that place, that location, and also become caught up in the punishment of its residents. Allahu Akbar. Even if my nation, whatever happens, from the story we see, whatever happens, whatever state Allah Ta'ala keeps us in, that is better for us. Consequently, we should be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should neither darken our hearts nor complain with our tongues. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, they went to Fir'aun in order to call him towards goodness, towards righteousness. So Fir'aun asked, and it's mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, "Faman rabbukuma ya Musa?" Fir'aun said, "So who is the Rabb of you both, O Musa?" Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam replied, "Qala rabbuna alladhi a'ata kulla shay'in khalqahu thumma hada." Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said that our Rabb is he who gave a befitting form to everything, then showed the right path. Now, commentators, mufassirun of the Quran, they gave us great insight into this ayah. And according to their explanation, this verse discusses how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he who created and granted specific abilities to everything. He has also granted means and unique forms to each thing, depending on what it shall do. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the eye to see, placed the faculty of vision within it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the ear for hearing and placed inside it the faculty of hearing. He gave both of them forms suited to their purpose. Everything has its special purpose and function. Ears for hearing cannot see, and eyes for seeing cannot hear. So in this way, everything in creation has been created for its respective purpose. Everything has also been granted best form suited for its capability and were guided towards the means by which to use them. So this is a very, very beautiful point for you and I to really, really understand the views of Mother Nature. And yes, we are going to be elaborating on this further. For now, we do have a very beautiful kalam. So let us go and listen to this kalam in order to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter we will be back to discuss much further into this topic inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mm-hmm.
حبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, the beautiful heart touching kalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the complete love for his beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing our greatest priority, and by now you must have understood what that means. That is, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our greatest priority. This is what we have to strive for in the views of Madani Channel. And before going to the to listen to this beautiful kalam, we have been mentioning that everything in creation has been created for its respective purpose. Now, Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah, he explains the ayah. He says that this ayah, it shows that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed according to His supreme wisdom is perfection for whoever it was granted to. He granted prophethood to the prophets. Prophethood is perfection for them. He granted wilayah, sainthood, to saints. Sainthood is perfection for them. He granted knowledge to scholars. Knowledge is perfection for them. And whoever was given anything, that specific thing, is perfect for them. Understand it in this way. Think of it like this. Whatever a person has received from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have received 100%. No one has been deprived. Everyone's full proportion is in accordance with their strength, capacity and ability. For example, a grade 1 student is given 100 marks. Which class will he enter? He will go to grade 2. Similarly, if a bachelor student is given 100%, what education level will he enter? He can begin a master's. Now, both attain 100%. Both were given 100%, but one enters grade 2. The other enrolls on a master's. It is because, although both attain 100%, their capabilities are different. If the bachelor graduate entered grade 2 and the grade 2 child who passed through grade 1 started a master's, they would both find themselves in a state of academic imbalance. Now, in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted everyone perfection in this world. The rich person has received 100%. The poor person has also received 100%. However, the strengths and capabilities of each are different. If a poor person was given 150% and made wealthy, or the rich person was given 50% and made poor, they would both lose their equilibrium and become imbalanced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted everyone 100%, and whatever He granted is perfection in that person's right. You know, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that although amongst my slaves are those whom poverty is better for, their state would fall into disrepair if I were to make them rich. Amongst my slaves are those whom wealth is better for, their state would fall into disrepair if I were to make them poor. Allahu Akbar. So you see, divas of Madani channel, everyone received 100% from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was once passing by a river. He saw children were swimming in there. He also noticed a blind child amongst them, whom they would push under the water and then they would swim away from. He would then come to the surface and try to find the other children, but he couldn't. Now, the sentiments of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam were touched by this. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the blind child ability to see. A dua that was accepted. Now the child could see. And he proceeded to grab another and drown them in the river. He then did the same with another. Seeing this, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was saddened and he made dua, "Oh Allah, he was better when he was blind." So his eyesight was removed once more. Now, this is for you and I to understand, Ibiz of Madinah Shinnah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed everyone perfection, everyone is receiving 100% of whatever is bestowed upon him. Whichever state a person is in, that is better for them. What room does this leave for complaining? Complaints only happen when there is injustice. There's absolutely no injustice here, as everyone is being given what is perfect for them and kept in a state best for them according to their respective capabilities. So it is a right upon us to be pleased with this. Now, despite this, whoever is not pleased with the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complains, it is as though they want to hear with their eyes and see with their ears. In other words, such a person has fallen into complete ignorance. A person should be pleased with however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept them and never complain under any circumstances. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that glad tidings for he who was guided to Islam and given sufficient rizq, he is pleased with. Subhanallah, subhanallah, glad tidings for such a person. Anyway, hadith mentions that when the day of Qiyamah arrives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow wings to a group of my ummah, by which they will fly from their graves into Jannah, into paradise. There they shall enjoy themselves however they wish. Angels will ask them, have you given accountability? They will respond, we have not given account. Angels will then question, did you traverse, did you cross the bridge of Sirat? They will say, we have not seen the bridge of Sirat. Angels will query, have you seen hell? They will say that we have not seen anything. Whose ummah are you from? The angels will ask. They will say, we are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angels will say, we ask you by means of an oath upon Allah, what actions did you do in the world? And they will say, we had two habits by which we reached this rank through the grace of Allah Ta'ala. We would shy from disobeying Allah Ta'ala even in seclusion, and we were pleased with the small amount of rizq bestowed upon us by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ladies of Madani channel, the day of Qiyamah will be 50,000 years long. People will exit their graves and head towards the plains of Mahshar. Imagine the scorching copper surface and the sun blazing overhead at a mile and a quarter's distance. Then the book of deeds will be given to people in their hands. Accountability will take place. And people must cross the bridge of Sirat. This bridge takes 1,500 years to cross. It is as thin as a strand of hair and sharper than the edge of a sword. On one hand, people will be caught up in these horrifying difficulties, and on the other, those that remain pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoided disobeying Allah ta'ala will be flying into paradise from their graves. Allahu Akbar. They will not feel the scorching heat of that day. Oh, be held to account. Oh, have to cross the bridge of Sirat. Subhanallah, how fortunate will those people be? No, if only we too become like them. If only we were pleased with divine decree and were dutifully obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that from amongst all the rewards Allah will bless His servants with on the day of Qiyamah, the greatest of them shall be His rida. Meaning Allah ta'ala being pleased with them, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And the greatest bounty is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest bounty of paradise, of Jannah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being eternally pleased with its inhabitants. He shall never be displeased with them. No, a hadith says that Allah ta'ala will reveal a divine tajalli for the people of Iman and say, ask from me. Upon this, the people of paradise will say, oh Allah, we desire you to be pleased. I mean, reflect, when the people of paradise have arrived in Jannah itself, they shall still ask for Allah Ta'ala to be pleased with them. This highlights how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala being pleased with someone is the greatest gift and reward of the hereafter. So Subhanallah, divas of Madani channel, we have reached the conclusion and the end of today's episode, and I leave you with this for something to reflect upon, realize and understand our greatest priority, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than every other priority, the greatest is to please our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, reflect, ponder, contemplate, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the